There's actually been so much that has happened in the last week, but the big thing that we have to start talking about is the Grand Slam. Is it the end of Grand Slam? Honestly, do you think Grand Slam is going to happen next year? What is your take on that?
Look, I heard speculation and rumors in Oslo. All the investors had dropped out that Grand Slam wasn't going to be able to pay a lot of the athletes.
If I was a betting man, I would say there's probably not Grand Slam happening next year.
Hey everyone, wanted to personally share with you that today we are announcing the conclusion of our inaugural Grand Slam track season. That means we won't see you in LA, unfortunately. And this was not a decision that we came to lightly, but it is the right decision for the long-term sustainability of the league. We
feel it. So, this is how it ends. A league with the promise to save the sport and redefine what was possible. Commissioner Johnson and Kyle Membrane set out on their ambitious quest, but before the final gun went off, it fell short. The dream has faded, the grandstands are empty, and the silence echoes louder than any cheer ever could. Can Grand Slam ever be saved? Find out on the Coffee Club Podcast.
Like and subscribe.
Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus, it's them. Boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club Podcast for episode 191. Oh, my God. Who is that? Who do we have joining us today?
The CEO's back, everyone. Look, there he is.
Gussie.
He's back. He's back. He's supervising Morgan and I on this podcast this evening because, obviously, we need some supervision. Recently, he hasn't been at the podcast. He needs to check in and making sure Morgan and I do our jobs. So, we are, Gus, aren't we?
This is stressful. This is really stressful.
It is really stressful, yeah.
This is like, I actually literally just experienced this today. I'm in Melbourne right now, for anyone who's wondering. And I feel like I'm yelling. Am I yelling? Do I sound like I'm yelling right now?
Not to me. You sound amazing, Mox. You sound amazing.
Thank you. So, I'm in Melbourne and I'm working with some of the great people down here, and I was doing my lift today, like in front of them. And there's like two people observing me do my lift. And, you know, we lift two or three times a week, so it's pretty standard. But when you have two people watching every single thing that you do, you try to be real serious and do everything real perfect, and you get really nervous and then you mess everything up. And so that's kind of how it feels like with Gus on the call today. It's actually quite intimidating.
Quite intimidating. He's just listening to every word.
So yeah, hopefully we don't mess up. But it is very nice to be back here with Ollie. He just got back a few days ago from Europe. So we're going to do a little catch up on his trip. He was in a couple of Diamond Leagues, some awesome racing. And then the big thing, there's actually been so much that has happened in the last week, but the big thing that we have to start talking about is the Grand Slam. Is it the end of Grand Slam as we know it? We're going to have some spicy takes and some rumors to talk about later. So make sure that you stay tuned for all that. I don't think this is going to be the last time we talk about Grand Slam, but it is absolutely bananas what has been going on in the Grand Slam universe in the last week. So we will be covering all that stuff. But before we get to that, so Ollie, your trip to Europe, you know, you got out to Rome and then you went and raced in Oslo. Just before we get into the specifics of it, overall, how was the vibe out there? How was the trip?
Honestly, it was a great trip. I think the little stints in Europe are really fun. I like the training camps in St. Moritz is amazing, but I think once you get to that 2 week mark in St. Moritz, it starts to get a little bit, you know, you miss home a little bit. You start to miss your routine back where you're used to doing things. But that little stint that we had was pretty amazing. Rome, I mean, Italy's amazing. I think Italy's like, obviously, like for me, one of the best countries in Europe. So it was great to go there. Food was fantastic. The warm-up track is the coolest thing I think I've ever seen. Very, very cool warm-up track. Shout out to, I do have bean shout outs that I can do throughout the Europe trip, because I'll do them now because I'll forget. Sorry, I should have organized this before, but I have some bean shout outs. Shout out to all the coffee club fans in Rome. It was great to see them out there, some from Luxembourg. But I got a little roast here. It's Kenya beans. It says, "Hi boys, we wish you a happy and successful season and a speedy recovery to Morgan. Love heart. Your biggest Luxembourgish fans, Tom, Pitt, and I'm going to butcher this name. I apologize. Armichin." Yeah, if you can see that, those are the names there. And obviously, big smooches to Gus, kisses to Gus. But this is a really nice bag of beans. Hopefully, we'll get to use these for the boys.
Thank you.
We got another bag of beans, and unfortunately, these ones don't have any writing on it. So apologies to the fan that gave it to us. But thank you so much for these beans. These are Guatemala beans from La Bosa. And then the last one, which I'm pretty sure is from Rome as well, is Impact from Brazil, Brazilian beans. To the coffee club boys, enjoy some beans from our favorite local spot in London, from Will and Tom in the UK. So thank you, Will and Tom. These will go to the beans for the fellas. Rome was like pretty amazing. The hotel was great. Robert, Josette, Cinta and I, it was good vibes. We had Kelsey there to help out in the coaching department. It was pretty nice. I mean, it's a good group. Robert's been itching to race. And I know it was great for, I think Cinta was racing in her, like the police academy thing. I don't know if you know Polizia. Yeah, she was racing not in her OAC kit. She was racing in that kit because they look after her. You probably know more about it, but it was great to be there. Rome was unreal. So yeah, it was cool. Good track. It was cool. Cool place to run. Well, I guess the stadium was, yeah.
Yeah, Rome is super nice. I mean, it's always nice to be back in Italy and to enjoy the food there. And as you mentioned, I think that warm-up track there is like the most picturesque track in the world. For those who haven't seen it, do yourself a favor. Look it up. It's the warm-up. I don't know what it's actually called, but it's the warm-up track for the Olympic Stadium in Rome. I can't remember its name, but what makes it so special is it has all these statues around it, and they're just the most epic thing that you could run with. I think it'd be so cool to go and do a race there. I think the track itself is a little bit weird, like it's a bit narrow.
It's like six lanes and stuff.
But yeah, it's just absolutely epic and good vibes out there for sure. Yeah. And going back to Oslo, for how many times have you been to Oslo now?
Every year since I've been a professional runner. So this would be, wow. This is my, because I was injured. I got injured. I was going through an injury the last time I was there. Coming back from injury, I ran there. And then the race, the first race I ever did there was the 347 mile with Jingi. So Oslo is a special place in my heart. And I did receive something very special, which is from a friend. Where are they? Oh, Gus, you got to stop. Gus is just licking my leg. I got Oli Hoare beans from Supreme Roast Works, Ethiopian.
So cool. What does it say on there?
It says the dream mile, 1500 meters. So Oli Hoare is the... wait, Gus, stop. The incast... I don't know how to say this word. The incarnation. Is that right?
Oli Hoare,
the incarnation of a proud down under middle distance running culture. Oli holds the area record in Australia for Oceania 1500 meters in the mile, both set at the iconic Bislett Stadium. Hoare kicked off to a great 2022 season, becoming the first Aussie to ever win the Watermaker Mile. Blah, 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 blah. Just a little bit of history there for Oli. But Yeah, very special. I got a couple of these bags. I got some other bags that we can do the next podcast with George because they're specifically for George. But yeah, it was Oslo was amazing. I mean, I love Oslo. There was a quick turnaround though. I think it was the same as Pri's last year. Very quick turnaround. It was like a couple of days I spent in Leipzig. Robert's the mayor of Leipzig. Honestly, I have to give a lot of credit to Robert. He was very hospitable to everyone. He got Sage like physio appointments, like when she was coming off the train. He like organized bikes. He organized all this sort of stuff, like going to coffee shops, going to locations. He was driving people around, picking people up. He was doing just being an absolute hospitable guy. Met his family. They don't speak any English, but great vibes.
Amazing.
Yeah, he was unreal. So Leipzig was great for the intermission between Rome and Oslo. I guess I'll go to my race in Rome. Terrible start. Kind of got knocked around, went to the back, and then it just felt relaxed because it did stretch out very quickly. And then I kind of did a George Beamish where I kind of fell asleep. And then there was a lap to go and I was like, crap, I got to get around. And then I think it's the quickest I've ever like kicked down a race. I think my last 300 was like 39 off a 3:31 pace. It's pretty good. Like I think I was 3 seconds behind the leader at the bell lap. So I was like, okay, well, you know, there were some mistakes there. I probably should have been further up and closed hard and stayed more engaged. Going into Oslo, my plan was to get a good start and kind of get in a good position. And the race was just weird. It was kind of all over the place. I kind of got behind Vincent Ciardi, and then like I kind of moved back. And then there was a couple of situations in the race where I should have probably made a move. And then I kind of just fell apart the last 200. But all the pieces are kind of there, but they're not being put together. And it's okay because training is going well. I mean, those races, ideally, like I could have done a lot better, but you know, I'm out there and I'm picking up pieces and I'm racing and like I'm doing certain things good, making certain mistakes, and it's good to learn those things and still run well. I still ran like a 3:31.1, which is
knocked off the standard, which was huge,
which was big. And then I ran 3:50. So like two races where I've made mistakes, but I ran still fast times. And the spreads these days, Morgs, for the middle distance and the Diamond League,
they're like crazy. The depth,
3:32 to 3:29. I think, and then they're all under for the standard in Rome. And that's then like Oslo was 3:48 to 3:50. So it's just everyone's together. Everyone's so good. And I think it's because one individual is too busy aqua jogging in his private pool and not out there racing with the fellas because he's dealing with little niggles. But I think everyone's just really, really good and no one's making those moves. No one's got those confidence to just take it out. People like Yard and the British guy and Cole Hocker and Jakob, like they really know how to like take and engage a race. And these guys are obviously just everyone's really good right now. So it's getting to more of a tactical affair. But it was good.
That kind of tells you right there. Like it's crazy to describe it as a tactical affair. One race was 1:03:29 and the other one was, what was Oslo? 1:03:48. So it's like, it's just the depth is crazy. So it's not many people can physically in the world. Like you guys are the best runners in the world. But there's just not that like same gap between like the people at that top end anymore. So it's not much they can really do because everyone is just so good that they're going to go follow them and go for it. But in my opinion, it makes for some amazing races to watch because it's just so exciting to have everyone in there. And then, I mean, running them's got to be pretty cool as well. I mean, it's got to be, obviously, yeah, as you said, like you want to be up there winning these races, but it's like still you're running these amazing times and you're competing and, you know, it's pretty awesome. And it sets you up really well for, I think, like later in the year. That's
How's how's all this stuff been going down in the best country in the world, Morgs, in Australia? Are you with the family in like the one place still?
I was. So I'm not sure if I said this on the pod last week or not, but all my family was staying together with my sister, except for one of my brothers. So, but it was like the first time I think in a long time we've had a family dinner actually with like everyone there. So very special. It was fun. It's just like a breath of fresh air to be back in Australia, to be back with the family give you some good perspective because, I mean, what we do, we're pretty locked in. Things are pretty intense all the time. And we care about running way too much. And even though we're aware of that, you're just kind of in the thick of it. So it's hard to like do anything about it really. And then you just come out somewhere else and it's like, it's not that they don't, like, obviously my family understands running 100%. Like my mom is super into running, but they're, you know, it's just good to, I think they have a good perspective on running when you see like all my family, you know, going out there working, doing other stuff, like real world stuff,
real world,
as you would call it. It's like, oh yeah, I'm just like running for my job. And it's like, I'm like the luckiest person in the world. So that perspective is always good. And just being around the family just always helps a lot. Just makes you feel good, even when times are tough and going through the injury and that. So it's been really nice to be back home for a little bit. I've been mostly in Sydney, which is where I'm from. But then, yeah, I'm in Melbourne for a few days, getting to work with some of the physio that I work with at the VIS, and getting to check out the OC Oceania setup here, which they got a really nice gym, nice setup, and it's been good to catch up with them a little bit, even though most of them are over in Europe right now. But yeah, overall, I'm just working back into my running right now. So I am running, which has been awesome, and just increasing it a little more each day, and then just doing a shit ton of cross training on top of that. So that's been kind of my schedule. And yeah, it's been nice though. Good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to be back. How's the coffee?
Coffee is great. Very, very reliably good here. Very easy. Very accessible. Good cafes everywhere. So
yeah,
it's been awesome. But yeah, I do miss, I mean, I'll be back in Boulder in just over a week. Obviously I miss everyone, miss the guys, miss Cinter a lot. So we'll be all back together very soon. But yeah, it is always nice to, you know, change things up a little bit, I think, when you're going through injury or whatever it is. So it's been a good little break, but it'd be good to be back as well. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited for you to be back. How's the time zone with you and Cinta with calling? Is it pretty bad?
It's kind of brutal. So yeah. So Europe to Australia is tough.
Yeah, it's very
luckily
bad.
She's because she's a bit of a night owl. I can catch her when I wake up, especially because like initially I was jet lagged, so I was waking up pretty early. And then also I get woken up every morning by my parents running up and down the stairs at 5 a.m. because my the study that I'm sleeping in, I'm sleeping on a mattress and a floor in the study, and it's right under the stairs. So I do get woken up quite early in the morning. And so that kind of links up with nighttime in Europe. It is like late there, but yeah, she's off and up. And then I think around 4 or 5 p.m. in the afternoon is then when she'll wake up in the morning. So it's not ideal, but we make it work.
Yeah.
So all is well.
All is well indeed.
So I guess anything else from your Europe trip, or do you want to move on to the Grand Slam?
Yeah, there's not much else to knock about with Europe. I guess Leipzig, I think eventually Robert's going to try and convince the whole team to base in Europe in Leipzig. So we might have to start learning some German. But the running there was amazing. Other than that, yeah, not much. We should move on. I mean, we heard about the Grand Slam stuff, I guess, leading into a little bit in Oslo. When you go to these Diamond League meets, a lot of the people you see around them, a lot of like kind of, I don't know if they're agents or investors or coaches, but they're these people that you could always kind of see at the Diamond Leagues, and they're usually like involved with the Diamond League in some way. But there's a lot of chatter. There's a lot of chatter going on, like something had happened, some big news was about to happen. And the rumor that was circulating at the lunch tables and at the dinner tables when we're at the hotel was that the Grand Slam was going to be canceled. And I kind of laughed, because I was joking about my apology and stuff like that. I was like, oh, my apology killed Grand Slam.
You got it canceled, bro. They heard you. Yeah, they listened to you.
My apology killed Grand Slam. And I was like, no, but then it was all confirmed. And then we heard speculations and rumors and stuff. But it's big news, Morgs. It's not it's not ideal, that's for sure.
It was crazy seeing it play out because this is actually the other funny thing about being in Australia is like a lot of stuff happens in the track world overnight, and then you wake up and you find out about it. But yeah, it was literally on the day, I think, of your race in Oslo, the news got announced, and it seemed just so abrupt that they were canceling the LA meet, the final and fourth installment of Grand Slam for this year. And it was just crazy because it seemed like the athletes hadn't even been told yet. It seemed like this was when they were finding out, because then they had this emergency meeting over Zoom, and it just happened so quickly. And it's just like the PR behind it, Johnson and Johnson.
Johnson & Johnson. Commissioner Johnson.
Commissioner Johnson & Johnson had to play it off very cool. And his takeaway was, we've seen all that we need to for the first year of this product. We've had three successful meets, and now we look ahead to next year, and we're going to cancel the LA meet and look to making the product as good as possible for next year. And that was kind of their stance on it, trying to just essentially sweep it all under the rug. But then it's like, you think about it for a second, you're like, hang on, what the hell are you talking about? You're canceling the fourth Grand Slam of the year. It's in LA.
Probably the biggest one.
Meant to be the biggest one.
Yeah.
You're canceling it, and you're talking about looking for new investors now. So let's do a little bit of investigatory work. And you're like, oh shit, there's no way this was part of the plan. And it seems like a money issue. It seems like investors have pulled out, or an investor. I'm not sure if they just had one big investor, but they've had this dark hole of seemingly endless money. They've talked about the money a lot. Mm. And they haven't said where it comes from, I don't think. But apparently it seems like that money just disappeared, and then they
dried up.
Dried up, and they had to cancel it. Not part of the plan, and try and scramble to get it together for next year. And they're still, I think, trying to work out how to go about it. Honestly, do you think Grand Slam is going to happen next year? What is your take on that?
Look, It's tough, because I heard speculation and rumors in Oslo from like Diamond League people, or just people saying stuff that's all speculative and all rumors. There was a rumor that all the investors had dropped out, that Grand Slam wasn't going to be able to pay a lot of the athletes. I think 40% of the athletes were paid. That was the rumor or speculation. So there was issues with payments, and those issues with funding, which is sad, which is disappointing. The Diamond League, yes, like it probably should be stepped up, and the prize money should be more, or even like paying for flights completely for all athletes and hotel, like extra stuff should probably be put into those meets, because at this point in time, the Diamond Leagues are selling out. They're all selling out, every single one. They're making probably good engagement, and it's also in Europe. I know Europe is much more kind to having good locations, good facilities that have been there for a long time, a lot of history, and easy access for fans to get to. Whereas in the US, it's a lot harder. But yeah, I mean, if all those investors dropped out, like for me, like the thing is, if you're saying, like, I think the comment that Commissioner Gordon said was, we've achieved everything we've needed to achieve this season with Grand Slam. It's like, well, that's not true. Because no. The biggest meet of the year was LA. Everybody was looking at LA as the biggest meet of the year. Yared was training to win that bloody Grand Slam, you know? That was a big one. And the other ones, I mean, I know Kingston had some issues. And then I think Philly seemed like it did really well. But LA was the big one. So I was just kind of, I think everyone's got the same thing in their head. Something's dropped out and investors dropped out. From what Yared has told me, from his meeting with Grand Slam, they did lose a investor. They didn't say who or how much or what, but they said that in order to fund and support and set up the next season, they had to cancel LA to make sure that they had the funds and the system and to do it right, to do it appropriately for next year, for new locations, for re-signing races. all that sort of stuff. So Yarab was calling everyone at practice Grand Slam haters because he obviously, you know, loves Grand Slam and he's enjoyed the ride and enjoyed all the racing and all
they're paying him for four races this year and he only has to do three.
Well, so I don't know if he'll get paid for four because I think in the contract you only get paid for three. So his payment's probably going to go down as well as a lot of people because I don't see them paying everyone out for that meet alone because they are big contracts. But yeah, I don't think Grand Slam's surviving next year. But if it does, I would be very, very happy to eat my shoe.
Yeah.
I'd be very happy.
That's a good, that's good stakes right there.
Yeah, I'd be very happy to eat my shoe. I want to eat my words. I would love to see Grand Slam come back, but it's very hard to, I think PR-wise, I don't know what you think, Morgs, but PR-wise, like the way fans and people are looking at it, even like competitors like the Diamond League, they're looking at it like, well, you couldn't complete a season.
Yeah.
Obviously, like things need time. Things do need time and they need probably, they've figured out, you know, things to do properly next time and how to allocate things and Maybe it will come back next year and it'll be incredible and it will blow everyone away. But at this point in time, I'm a bit skeptical. I'm a little bit skeptical.
I would label this as extremely concerning. and the thing is, at the end of the day, I actually do think that Grand Slam is good for the sport, and I think like it is good, and it even probably had some positive impacts on the Diamond League because they finally had some competition and had to lift their own game a little bit. And I think the basic idea behind it is great to try to create a league. Obviously, the actual like execution of it, that's something that is really difficult to do correctly and something that we talk about often, some ideas on how we think that it could be done better. But overall, for anything to any business to exist, it needs to have money and it needs to have massive investments. And it's just, I think the fans have, it gets such negative feedback because the fans can really smell the BS when it's in front of them, and they can tell very easily when things don't quite make sense. And when, you know, the way that things are being fed to them, the communication is not fully transparent, and that's clearly what's happening here. And it's also, there's levels of irony because they've talked so many times about money and how much they made such a big deal out of it. So it's a bit ironic now that, you know, they're having these money issues. But yeah, I would just say that what's makes this extremely concerning to me is that, yeah, clearly it was a really big investor. And the thing is, you wouldn't expect, we talked about how, you know, when you start off something, it's not going to have success straight away. And you have to do it in such a way where you're building for the future. And that's, I'm like 100% believe that's what they tried to do. And that's what the plan was. And I would imagine that in the first year of the plan, you know, they would have accounted for a high level of losses. Like that's just normal with any business to have losses, but they must have still had certain metrics to hit. So the fact that investors have pulled out at this point and just cut their losses is so concerning to me because it means that, you know, they're not hitting these metrics that they, I guess, the investors felt like needed to be hit, which you would think in the first year of a new league are not that high. Like you would set the bar pretty low, but at the end of the day, if people are investing in something, they need to be seeing money back within 3 years, 5 years, you know, whatever the length of time is. And it seems like they just clearly were not on track for that. And we've talked a lot of times about, yeah, like there's no way to really see the metrics of success that they're using. And but I guess this is the most clear way to see that they're not hitting those metrics of success that the investors deem as most important. And obviously they would have access to all the information that we don't get to see. So based on that, I unfortunately do not think that the league is going to last. I think maybe it will be back next year, possibly. Maybe that is true, what you said about, I mean, if Jared was told this, then I do believe it, that, you know, for there to be any chance of them being around next year, they had to cut the LA one to spread the money out to next year. But I still think that if I was a betting man, I would say there's probably not Grand Slam happening next year. Or if there is, it's going to be in a very different form and they won't be.
It'll be Grand, Grand Slam history.
Yeah.
It'll be Grand Slam history. I mean, like, yeah. The issue is anything they do, first time in Grand Slam history.
Yeah, first time a Grand Slam meet ever got canceled.
Yeah, but the interesting thing with this, Morgs, is that I think there will be backlash even when they cut. They're probably going to cut prize money, right? Like, I would think that if they're losing investors, they'll cut prize money.
You would have to.
Yeah, and I think that will, like, people will be like, oh, you know, they'll anything they do to change will be critiqued, unfortunately, when they're trying to still do something good for the sport. So hopefully when people look at it, they will understand that maybe it just needs to, you know, maybe its arm got stuck in the crevice when it was climbing up the mountain, and it's got to saw it off and leave it behind and then hopefully survive. So I know that's a bit of a grim analogy, but I think it'd be nice to be optimistic, but you're right. It's quite concerning.
Yeah. If you're in the shoes of Commissioner Johnson and Johnson, or even Mr. Kyle Membrane, the mastermind, at this point, what do you do? What do you think they can possibly do?
I think what you should, I don't know if this has been a thing or not. I would have paid a lot of those top athletes less. So like Sydney, Kenny, a lot of those top sprinters that you got, even some of the 15 guys, I would have paid them less and say, hey, I'm going to give you a pay cut, but I'm going to give you like 5-10% in Grand Slam company or whatever, like, you know, maybe get them invested in like the success of this program so that they could own a little bit, a part of it, and it could be good. It could be worth a lot of money in the future. I think paying Sydney McLaughlin and Kenny and a lot of those athletes a lot of money. Like, yes, our sport needs more money for those athletes, but they're athletes that aren't struggling with money. They're not struggling with the paycheck. So maybe offering them an incentive that kind of is different to just $100,000, like percentage in the company of Grand Slam, or maybe more involvement. I think that could be helpful. I think also like the locations thing, I think that really fucked them up, Morgs. I think
Kingston for the first one.
The Jamaica thing was a good idea, but they didn't execute it well, considering Jamaicans love track and field, but there was no... Dude, Usain Bolt was in Oslo. Usain Bolt was walking around Oslo. He literally moved people out of the way of lane one to help me finish my post-race workout. He was just hanging around Oslo. He got awarded, like, I think he's some sort of award in it for the Bislett Games because he ran in Oslo years ago. He's one of the greatest runners of all time. Why was he not involved in Grand Slam? Why was he not involved in the Jamaica thing? Like, there's things like that. It's like, that's where you put your money. I don't know how expensive Bolt is, but if they've got a lot of money, you want people like that involved. The Diamond League got him in Oslo. I know he got awarded an honor, but there's stuff like that that I think would have been very helpful for them. I think the locations definitely hurt them. And I think the advertising, Morgs, of like the tickets and stuff, like a lot of that stuff, like, didn't seem it was advertised as well as it could have been, but maybe just because I wasn't following it as a person that would buy a ticket, because I'm obviously going to watch it on Peacock. But yeah, like little things like that, I think that's probably what Membrane and Commissioner Johnson are looking at, and they're probably thinking, well, we can, you know, maybe reset and do these things and maybe change the locations and for next time. But there's one thing that they made a grave mistake on, Morgs. Grave mistake was that they didn't get the Coffee Club boys to commentate the distance events. Because if they're on Coffee Club, if they just called up Gus and say, hey, we'd like your boys to come down and do some commentary, if they're on their best behavior, they'll do some commentary for the distance events, I reckon it would have saved Grand Slam. I reckon LA would have happened.
Definitely LA would be happening if we were. I think there's no question about that. I think everyone would agree on that point. But yeah, I do agree with a lot of what you're saying. I think the thing is, this league only works if they have the best athletes there. And part of the reason why, like, part of its drawbacks is in events where they don't have the best athletes. I mean, you've mentioned not having Noah Lyles or, you know, Sha'Carri, like, that not having those people there does hurt. And these people all have extremely high fees to get them to do these races. So I think what you're saying about finding some other way to incentivize them, if it can't be money, I think does make sense. It's happened in other sports. But yeah, you had to, you like, that's a condition that you have to meet. You have to have these amazing athletes there. Otherwise, it's definitely not going to work. Maybe there's too many events, though, still, that there's certain events that is, you know, because you have to, that is the always the issue with athletics, is that there's so many events and you have to pay the winner of every event the same amount in general. And so when you have so many events and, you know, there's certain events that people are going to get really excited for and watch, and there's certain ones that they won't, you get these kind of inefficiencies. And so it's about trying to get rid of those inefficiencies as much as possible when you're talking about it from a pure business standpoint. So I do think they could maybe have done that a bit better. But I think when you mention a lot of the little things, I do agree with you. I think a lot of the advertising and marketing, I know, like, they have a good Instagram that has a lot of followers now, but I still don't think they have a lot of people that, like, that care that much. I think, you know, they've done a good job at just putting out a crap ton of content and stuff, but to me it feels very superficial, you know. It's very surface level. I wouldn't say that they've actually done a good job at creating a community, which I think is much more important than gaining as many Instagram followers as possible. So I think you really had to, you know, take the time to do things maybe a little more slowly and really engage people, I think would have been the way to go about it, rather than just flaunting, you know, how much money everyone is making and just putting up all these flashy numbers and stuff. I think people don't respond as well to that as they do to, you know, actually properly doing stuff that people end up caring about and getting them engaged. And I think it's really difficult to do that. I think it's super difficult to do that. But I think that's the type of stuff that if you invest in, especially in the first few years of a league, that's the stuff that pays off in dividends for long term, forever. You know, it's like we talk about all these meets in Europe, like the ones that you just competed in, and they have all this history. And that's a part of what makes them very special. And you can't buy history, you can't just make up history. But you know that these meets in the first few years, they just started as amateur meets with a bunch of people with, you know, a goal and a dream to go out there and have just amazing racing and just compete. And it wasn't about, you know, all this more flashy stuff that I think the Grand Slam seems to be a lot about. So I know it's a lot easier said than done. I'm aware of that, but I think, the only way that you can create something that does, you know, stand the test of time is by really making something that people actually resonate and people get behind and care about. And I think, you know, if I think I'm biased, but, you know, the mid-distance events, like, we actually really, really enjoyed them. We really enjoyed them. And I would watch an event that had, you know, just those mid-distance meets. I would watch that event every single weekend, you know, like, I would tune in and I would be hooked. I would be so excited to do that. And so if you could somehow scale that up or distill that and make it something more efficient, like, yeah, that's something that I would love. But I think they maybe struggled, for me at least, to capture that magic and to spread it across the whole event.
I do hope that they keep it going. I do think that reflecting on a lot of that stuff with the 3-day, the 2-day thing, it makes sense to put it into 2-day. I mean, like, even one day for the Diamond League, you get it bang, 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 bang. You can kind of watch it. And then, but 2 days is kind of fun because then you can kind of compare and contrast, whereas 3 days was probably a bit too much. But
Wasn't it a bit, I don't know if ironic is the right word, and you were competing, so you weren't probably, you weren't consuming, you weren't experiencing the meet in the same way as a viewer, but like they announced the news on the day of Oslo, and then Oslo was another amazing diamond. Like it was another crazy, jam-packed, action-filled 2 hours of like entertainment.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty impressive like how the sport just like, in certain ways, just like competes with each other in all forms. Like it's yeah. I think the Diamond League, like, and also with the Diamond League, like it's a lot cooler when you see all these people from all different countries, and it's like national record. Like that's a really cool thing. And I get the pacing and just the racing and only the best, but the Diamond League's props is that they have all these athletes that come in and they just absolutely crush. But again, the best athletes in the mid-D, the 1, 2, 3 from the Olympics were in those races competing, and it was pretty exciting to watch. But yeah, like something similar, like I think with, I don't know if this is true, but I remember hearing about or reading about it, that when Messi joined the MLS, they gave him rights to subscriptions from Apple TV to watch the MLS. They gave him like a percentage.
I think he got paid out from something with Inter Miami specifically, and then the MLS as a whole. I think he got some kickback from something like that.
Yeah, so like stuff like that, maybe they could look into to help get those top athletes. But yeah, we'll see. I guess Morgs, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
We'll see.
Yeah,
we will. So it is a bit sad and depressing right now.
Yeah.
Well. It's not all sad and depressing, but you know, this sport has lots of ups and downs, and that's what we're seeing right now. So that's the way it goes. It's not easy to make a new track league, that's for sure.
But nah.
I think that's kind of where we'll close it out today. Just another quick over the internet episode with us boys. There's obviously so much other stuff that's gone down in the last week. Much more to talk about Oslo, Stockholm, but I think we'll kind of check back in next week. When George is back and cover all that stuff. But yeah, Ollie, thanks for joining me today, bro.
Thanks for having me, Morgs. It's good to hear. Good to hear you're doing well. And we're missing you here in Boulder. But say hi to the fam for me, and enjoy the amazing coffee in Australia, mate.
We'll see you soon. I will. Thank you. But yeah, that's it for episode 191 of the Coffee Cup Podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening and joining us today. We look forward to seeing you guys all again next week. See ya.
Like and subscribe.